بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم ما بعد عن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه غزا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قبل نجد فلما قفل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قفل معهم فأدركتهم القائلة في واد كثير العظاء فنزل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وتفرق الناس يستظلون بالشجرة ونزل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تحت سمرة فعلق بها سيفه ونمنا نومة فإذا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يدعونا وإذا عنده أعرابي فقال إن هذا اخترط علي سيفي وأنا نائم فاستيقظت وهو في يده صلتا قال ما يمنعك مني قلت الله ثلاثا ولم يعاقبه وجلس متفق عليه وفي رواية قال جابر كنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بذات الرقاع فإذا أتينا على شجرة ظليلة تركناها لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فجاء رجل من المشركين وسيف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم معلق بالشجرة فاخترطه فقال تخافني قال لا قال فمن يمنعك مني قال الله وفي رواية أبي بكر إسماعيل في صحيحه قال من يمنعك مني قال الله قال فسقط السيف من يده فأخذ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم السيف فقال من يمنعك مني فقال كن خير آخذ فقال تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأني رسول الله قال لا ولكني أعاهدك ألا أقاتلك ولا أكون مع قوم يقاتلونك فخلى سبيله فأتى أصحابه فقال جئتكم من عند خير الناس جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه is the narrator of the incident. He says that we went on jihad with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم towards Najd. When we were returning, he says, we were returning with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was the afternoon. We reached a valley in which there were a lot of thorny trees. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam dismounted and we also split up looking for some shade underneath the trees in order to rest. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam dismounted underneath an acacia tree. He hung his sword upon the tree. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, we all went to sleep for a little while. All of a sudden, we heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calling us. When we approached him, we found that with him there was a Bedouin. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed us and said, pointing to this person, that he snatched my sword whilst I was sleeping. When I woke up, I saw my sword in his hand, having been unsheathed. And he addressed me and said that who is going to protect you from me? I responded and I said, Allah. This happened 3 times. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not punish this person and he sat down. In another narration, the narrator is also Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that we were with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on an expedition which was given the name Dhatul Riqa. He says we came to a shady tree which we left for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the mushrikeen, the idolaters, came and the sword of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was hanging on the tree. He snatched the sword and he addressed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, do you fear me? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. Then he went on and he said, then who is going to save you from me? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded and said, Allah. In the third riwayat of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, it is mentioned that this person said, who is going to save you from me? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah. Hearing this, the sword fell from his hand. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter took the sword and asked him the same question. Who is going to save you from me? This person responded and he said, be a captor who is kind. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, do you bear witness that there is no deity besides Allah and that I am the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This person responded, no, I'm not prepared to bear witness to that. However, I give you my promise that I will never after this fight against you, nor will I party or join forces with any people who are fighting against you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam let this person go. This person returned back to his people and he said that I have come to you from the best of people. I find that this incident is quite self-explanatory. There are many, many lessons which we can learn from this incident. It's quite obvious why Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has introduced this particular incident under his chapter Babul Yaqeen wa Tawakkul. That is the chapter of Yaqeen, total conviction on Allah and placing one's trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see from the practical example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his total dependence, total reliance on Allah, and this complete conviction that no harm, no benefit, no living, no dying can occur except with the permission and the qudrat and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This incident that is referred to, Zatul Riqa, was an expedition which, according to the Muarriqeen, occurred in the 6th year of Hijrah. If you look at this term, Zatul Riqa, the Arabic word Riqa means pieces of bandages. Ulama say there's two reasons that this expedition was given this name. One reason is that this was the name of a mountain in the area where this expedition occurred. The other reason they give is that it indicates the difficulty that the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam underwent in the path of Allah. Riqa means bandages, referring to the fact that Sahaba, they didn't even have shoes, such was the level of poverty. And in this condition, they strove in the path of Allah, intense heat of the desert, as a result of which their feet started cutting. And in order to alleviate the pain in their feet, they used what is called in Arabic riqa, pieces of cloth, in order to cover up the cuts that had been performed on the feet of Sahaba. So this expedition was named that, Zatul Riqa. Whilst they were returning from this expedition, it was the time of Qailullah, and we can see what a practiced upon sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam this was, that what we call siesta, taking a small break or a small nap in the afternoon. The reason for this, ulama explain, is that it gives one strength and himmat in order to get up for tahajjud salah at night. And it was a sunnah which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam regularly practiced upon. We can see here, even in jihad, out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam practiced the sunnah of Qailullah. So they reached in the afternoon at the time of Qailullah, a place, obviously they look for some shade. You can gauge the extent to which Sahaba and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam exerted themselves, that they were able to sleep whilst in a desert, in the intense heat, whilst traveling, they were still able to sleep. Such was the level of exertion. They were so tired. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam hung his sword upon a tree, and he wakes up. Now to hear these incidents are easy. But imagine a person from deep sleep opens his eyes. The enemy is standing in front of him, his own sword in the hand of the enemy. And what is the question? Who is now going to save you from me? Even in this condition, having just woken up, such was the total reliance on Allah, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without hesitation, totally unperturbed, total conviction, that Allah has given me the promise of ismat, the promise of protection. Allah will protect me. Who is going to protect you from me? Allah. In the first riwayat, we find that three times Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. Ulama say, why three times? Two explanations are given. One is that the person asked the question three times, because he couldn't believe the answer also. He was a mushrik, an idolater. Who is going to protect you? Allah. Three times he asked the question, to try to break the himmat or the will of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second explanation ulama give, that why did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say Allah, Allah, Allah? This was da'wat. And this was the love that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to take the name of Allah. Even in that condition, he doesn't just take Allah's name one time. He takes Allah's name three times. With this, that how the name of Allah can penetrate the heart of this person. That is why we find in the third narration, such was the effect, Allah, 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 that the sword, the hand of this person started shaking, and the sword fell to the ground. This was the extent, this was the effect of the conviction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself picks the sword up. Here we see, وَمَا أَرْسَلَّكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah says, we have not sent you but as a mercy for humanity. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeats the same question, not to threaten this person, but to teach him iman. And in this we see the forbearance, the hilm of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We see the sabr and patience of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We see this quality of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Aisha radiallahu anha was asked the question about the akhlaq and character of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such a character which Allah himself places a label upon in the Quran, where Allah says, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. You are upon a great character, a great akhlaq, great morals. This person, now the roles are reversed. The sword is in the hand of that person. And yet, see the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu anha Coming back to what I was saying, when she was asked about his character, she said, "Man taqama Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam li nafsihi." She said, this jazba, this zeal of intiqam and revenge did not burn in the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What was the natural reaction? The roles are reversed. Sword is in his hand. Revenge. Get retribution. This didn't exist in the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Who is going to protect you from me? Why the same question? To teach him iman, to give him da'wat. This person says, kun khayra akhirin. Become a captor who is kind to his captive. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, you are free to go. You are free to go. In other words, no revenge. This is the akhlaq and character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And concern for the hidayat of this person. Ulama write. Ulama have written that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam let this person go. Why? So that when he goes back to his people, they will hear about this conduct, this character, and perhaps it will become a means of them accepting Islam. The name of this person was Ghawrath. In another riwayat is mentioned his name was Ghawrath. He was from the Banu Haritha tribe. And it is mentioned that later on, this incident became a means of him accepting Islam, bringing iman upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At that time, he was not prepared to bring iman. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him da'wat. Gave him da'wat. Imagine, this person was after the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ready to behead him with his own sword. Yet the moment the roles are reversed, first thing, give him da'wat to Islam. Tashhadu an la ilaha illallah. This was the concern and worry for humanity that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. How every person, even the one who tried to take his life, may be saved from Jahannam and enter into Jannat. And it is this concern and worry that we have to emulate and we have to bring within our lives. This worry and concern, this compassion for humanity, this akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this jazba of da'wat, inviting people to be safe from Jahannam and go to Jannat. This is why this person, when he returns back to his people, what does he say? Jitukum min indi khairin nas. Just a few hours ago, he was ready to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Akhlaq and character of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has such an effect upon this avowed enemy that he goes back to his people and he says, I have returned to you from amongst the best person on the surface of this earth. This was the effect of the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah give us tawfiq.